We're turning to God's Word tonight to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. Let's hear the Word of God. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And I seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Paul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the word of God. We pray you'll bless it to our hearts, Lord, even in the reading of it. We thank thee for conversions. We thank thee, Lord, for God stepping into life suddenly. We thank thee, Lord, for the change you make whenever you save a soul. And we pray, Lord, tonight in this meeting will be conversions. Pray, Lord, that there'll be someone in this meeting needing to be saved. We turned around just like Saul was that night, off that Damascus road, off the broad road, and, Lord, put on the road that leads to heaven and to home. Oh, Lord, speak today. Speak, Lord, we pray. Empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit and help me to be faithful to the truth of God's precious word and to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' name for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. Paul was a missionary, a preacher, a church planter, a man of wisdom, a man used by God. And certainly he is to be much admired for the way the Lord used him in Scripture. But sometimes whenever we read Scripture, we think of these characters and we think of them as superhuman, unlike people today. The Bible makes it very clear that these men and women used by God are exactly the same as we are today. Elijah was a man with like passions such as we. They felt the same. They had the same troubles, the same trials. Of course, we live in a much more modern world and there's many temptations coming to us in many different means, but they were tempted with the same temptations even way back then. They had the same problems to face. They had the same things to deal with. But you know what? Whenever they committed themselves onto the Lord, then the Lord used them mightily. Don't think that Elijah's blessing and Paul's blessing and Esther's blessing and Lydia's blessing was just for that day. The Lord's still the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And every single one of those people I mentioned, and many more throughout Scripture, have a testimony of how the Lord saved them, how the Lord changed them, how the Lord used their lives for His glory. And you know, in that testimony, there are things that will be the same. That's true for everyone who's saved in this meeting tonight. We have a testimony, if we're saved, of how the Lord saved us. And if you're saved tonight, I want you to rejoice with me as we read through Paul's testimony. We see ourselves represented here in many, many ways. If you're not saved tonight, I want you to listen to Saul's testimony. And I want you to think about the fact that this God who saved Saul is able to save you tonight. He's able to do the same thing tonight and use your life for His glory. First thing I want you to notice about this testimony of saving power, God's saving power, is Paul's lifestyle. The very first time we hear of Saul in Scripture is in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 58. And it says, whenever they were stoning Stephen, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. So the first time we read of him, he was a young man. Now, he wasn't throwing the stones, but he was giving consent for it, and he certainly was agreeing with it. And the people left their coats down at his feet as they went to do their wicked deed. He was a young man. He was standing in a crowd that was hostile toward Christians and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the company that you keep is extremely important, because you become like those with whom you spend time. And here we have a young man who was maybe only standing, watching what was going on. But one chapter later, he's not standing anymore. He's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be very careful with your company. Be careful with your close friendships. Be careful with those with whom you spend most of your time. Young people, especially, make wise decisions about your company. Watch your company. We hear of Christians saying that they're peer pressured by others. Let's go here, let's go there, let's go this, let's do that. Come you here, you can sit with us, and you don't have to drink. You don't have to participate. Sure, just come out with us for the crack and for the fun. We need to be very careful with those that we spend time with. Pick good friends. Pick godly friends. And Saul is no longer standing, watching people persecute Christians. Paul has become the chief persecutor of the believers. Not only do we find he is a young man, but we find he is against the people of God. Look what it says in chapter 8 and verse number 3. It says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committing them to prison." This wasn't a pleasant knock on the door. This was barging into people's houses. This wasn't a gentle touch. This was a heavy-handed force to haul people into the prison cell. Chapter 9, verse 1, it says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. That word threatenings, it comes from a word meaning menace. He was a menace to the people. That word slaughter, it literally means murder. He wanted those people murdered because of their faith in Jesus Christ. He wanted those people to have their lives taken away because they dared to preach that there was a Savior who could save you from sin. They dared to preach there was one way to heaven. They dared to preach that Christ was the Messiah. And you might say, oh, that's awful, way back then, how people had to die for their faith. Do you realize that tonight in this world, there are people who are under the threat of persecution? Do you realize, especially Middle Eastern countries, Iraq and Iran, go over to North Korea and different countries around this world, and you cannot publicly declare as a citizen of that country that you have converted to Christianity? It may mean beating, it may mean imprisonment, it may mean death. You certainly can't carry a Bible, you certainly can't hold meetings publicly, you have to do it privately, you have to do it secretly. And there are people tonight around this world, and they're under threat of death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then sometimes we come to God's house, and it's a burden for us to get into a car and publicly come and worship the Lord, and we complain about it. We should be coming to God's house not only rejoicing and thanking God for the privilege of being able to come to a place like this publicly, but also praying for those who do not have the freedom that we enjoy. Isn't it interesting? The people that Saul was against, they weren't thieves or killers. They weren't abusers or terrorists or drug pushers. He was against the people of God because he was against God. Before he was saved, he thought that the gospel was nonsense. He thought it was a ridiculous notion. It was an offensive thing that he had come across, and it angered him that people were loyal to the Savior. Made him cross because people lived according to the words of Christ. And this should be no surprise to us. Because Saul's father, Saul's master, Saul's Lord at this time was exactly the same. Satan hates Christians. Satan hates believers. He hates Christ. He hates the church. And Saul was a Pharisee. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he spoke to the Pharisees and he said these words, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, then it's a biblical truth that you are of your father the devil. There's no truth in you. And the lusts of your father you will do. The sinful actions of Satan are found in your life tonight. It's sin that controls your life. It's sin that marks your life. It's sin that separates you from God. It's your sin that offends a holy God. It's your sin that will take you to hell. And could it be there's someone in this meeting tonight, and it's listening to my voice, and it's not just that you don't want to be saved, but you're leaning toward the attitude of Saul. You hate Christianity. And believers anger you, and church really annoys you, but you're here tonight. Maybe this week you've made a Christian's life miserable. In school, at home, you've mocked someone who loves the Savior and doesn't indulge in dirty jokes or alcohol or immorality as you do. Perhaps you've ridiculed someone you've seen carrying a Bible or praying or dressing modestly. Maybe in your family, you've mocked a family member for loving Christ. What can I say to you tonight in this meeting? If that's your attitude and that's the way you're living your life, humanly speaking, Saul was taking action against believers. But notice what verse number 4 and verse number 5 says. "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the Lord said," verse number 5, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And I tell you tonight, sinner in this meeting, you be very, very careful. Because if you speak against, offend, persecute one of God's people, God takes that personally. He takes it personally. And here's a young man. Here is a man who's against the people of God and indeed persecuting the Lord. And here's a man who was on a journey. We read of this journey tonight that he was on. It says in verse number 3, as he journeyed. And you know what? He did that day something that every single person has done here already tonight. He was on his way to church. He wasn't going to worship God. He was going to disrupt the service. He was going to arrest the Christians. But he was on a journey to church. Interesting, isn't it? He was going to church, but he was going for the wrong reasons. He was going to disrupt. He was going to destroy the meeting. Why are you here tonight? Are you here because you've been sent? Are you here because someone's asked you along? Nothing else to do? I pray, like Saul, you will hear and see Christ tonight. See, not only was he going on a physical journey to the churches in Damascus, but he was walking on a spiritual road. He was walking on the broad road. That's the road of the sinner. And when we're born into this world, we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The only person who's been born into this world without sin was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're born on the broad road that leads to hell. We're all on it. And we hear of people saying, well, I'm good living, or I do my best, or I'm not immoral and I'm not bad. And they're living on the clean side of the broad road. And humanly speaking, looking at their lives, you would say, that's a good person. That's a good living person. That's a person who caused no offense to anyone. But the reality is, if they're not saved by the grace of God, then you're walking a road that leads to hell. You're walking a road of damnation. You're walking a road that, should the Lord call the breath from your body tonight and the soul from your body tonight to go into eternity, the end of that road will come for you and you'll be found in the flames of hell. What road are you traveling tonight? Saul was religious. He was clever. He was zealous. He was respected. But he was traveling on his way to hell. You might be educated in this meeting, but if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. You might be respected, maybe even religious, but if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. You might be really loved by your family and appreciated by your friends, but if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. You might be rich in this world and have much of the material things that this world has to offer, and then that in and of itself is not wrong, but if you're not saved, they will do you no good. You're on your way to hell. You might be call yourself a Free Presbyterian tonight, Protestant tonight. Friend, if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. Now, we've noticed here just a few aspects of Saul's lifestyle as the Holy Spirit records it for us. And this brings us then to our second thought, God's intervention. Aren't you glad tonight that we have a God who steps into the life of sinners? Because had God not stepped into Saul's life that night, he would have continued on his wicked ways. He'd be in hell tonight for all eternity, but God stepped in. Had God not stepped into my life at the age of 7, I would still be in my sin, maybe already in eternity in hell. Aren't you glad tonight we have a God who steps in? And look at the way he steps in, because verse number 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly. Hallelujah. Suddenly. God moves suddenly. We were saying this morning about how we ought to keep praying for family and keep praying for friends. It might seem like a lifetime, but then suddenly God steps in and God changes him. And many in this meeting can testify to that word suddenly being used in their conversion. The Lord can step suddenly into a life. The demoniac of Gadara, and he was possessed with demons and he wasn't able to think clearly and he was running about naked and he was cutting himself and he was in complete agony and distress in life. But suddenly God stepped in. And you know what? The next time the people saw him, he was sitting, he was clothed, he was in his right mind. God stepped in and suddenly what a difference in his life. And here's a man who was traveling to wreak havoc on the Church of Jesus Christ. He was fighting against God, but oh, the mercy of God. God stepped in. Friend, tonight, if you desire to be saved from your sin, the bondage of sin, the power of sin, the punishment of sin in hell, then it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can help you. Notice how the Lord spoke to this man. He heard the voice of God. Saul. Saul. There aren't many times in Scripture whenever the Lord uses someone's name twice, but they're worth taking note of. And here is one of them, Saul, Saul. God was getting this man's attention. Now, what's interesting was this man was well-versed in Old Testament scripture. He knew that the Messiah was coming. He knew that there was a Savior to save from sin, but he did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior. Oh, he knew about scripture, but he didn't know the God of scripture. He didn't know the Christ of scripture. But here the Lord calls him, Saul, Saul. Lord speaking, and the Lord's voice brought conviction. The Lord's voice brought conviction. I believe the moment that the Lord said, Saul, Saul, I believe conviction was found in his heart. He placed his finger on Saul's sin. Saul, why are you doing this? He heard the word of God, and there was a change in his life. And this book is the word of God, and this book can change your life because through it the Lord Jesus speaks. Why are so many churches ignoring the word? Why are so many adding it on just to the end of a service? Because they don't want to hear what it says. This is a mirror. And if you look into the mirror of God's word center tonight, you'll find that you will see yourself, and you'll see you're separated from God. You'll see that you're a sinner. You'll see that you're condemned to hell. But as you keep looking on into this book, you'll see that there's a Savior who died for sinners. Blood that was shed to save us from our sin. And there is a true living relationship that I can have with God. And I ask you tonight in this meeting, sinner, do you feel guilt and shame over your sin? Do you feel fear to die or a fearfulness to die because you know you're going to hell? Well, then God is speaking to you tonight. He's telling you that as you stand before him, you're guilty and sinful. But you don't have to be that way. You don't have to leave that way. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But Saul not only saw or heard the Lord, he saw the Lord. How do I know that? Well, he is called an apostle. And one of the qualifications to be an apostle was to have seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And how do I know he did that? Well, it says in Acts chapter 22, verse 6, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And then if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 1, Paul speaks again about that experience. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 1, and he says, Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Where did he see him? He saw him that day on the road to Damascus. How do we know? Because it says in verse 17 of Acts chapter 9, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me. The Lord that appeared unto him. You see, he saw the Lord. He saw the marks of Calvary on the hands of Christ. He saw that the Lord Jesus Christ had power over death. He saw that the gospel was true. He saw holiness in front of him. He saw the Lord. You know, the world in many ways will acknowledge Christ was born in a manger, but that's where they want to keep him. Oh, they're happy enough to think of the little baby lying there in a manger. That's not a real threat. But they don't want to hear about a Christ on a cross. They don't want to hear about blood shed for the remission of sins. They don't want to hear about the resurrection. And if you leave out the cross, and if you leave out the blood, and you leave out the resurrection, then you don't have a gospel. And sad to say, some people take the Bible and they treat it as a pick and mix, and they think, well, I can take that bit because I like it and I'll leave that bit out. And people will go around misquoting the Word of God and saying, well, you know, God loves everyone and God loves me no matter who I am or what I'm doing, and I can do this because God will want me to express myself. And they're taking things out of the Bible and twisting them sinfully and wickedly. You see, friend, tonight, we need to present the Christ of the Bible because only the Christ of the Bible can save. He's alive tonight. He's here tonight. He's able to see your heart tonight. He knows where you stand. He knows how you sit tonight. He is able to save you tonight. How do you view Christ today? Do you view him just that little baby in the manger? Do you view him just as someone who is in control of all things, but just in the background, and you can do whatever you want, and God's up there and I'm down here? No, the Lord we're speaking of tonight is the ruler of the universe, the judge of all the earth, the one you'll stand before someday and give an account of the life that you have lived. This is our Savior. And tonight he looks into your heart and sees how you stand before him. And as he heard the voice of God, and as he saw the Son of God, then we find that Saul trembled before the Lord. He trembled. You see, he realized who Christ was. He realized who he was. And you know what happened whenever he realized who Christ was? The pride and the arrogancy was gone. The threatenings and the thoughts of murder had ceased. His zeal to destroy God's people was abated. And you see, whenever someone realizes who Christ is, then it's a fearful thing. It's a solemn thing. Sometimes you hear people on television, so-called celebrities, and they'll come out with such arrogant statements. You know, whenever I see God, I'm going to ask him this or demand this, or I'm going to tell him this. They're going to do the same thing that Saul did. They're going to bow before him. And they're going to tremble. In fact, the Bible says that the unbelievers will call for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them as they go into the presence of God and realize that Jesus Christ is Lord. I remember the night I got saved. I was 7 years old. I was lying in a hospital bed in Mid-Ulster Hospital in Muckerfeld. It was nighttime, and I knew that night I was a sinner, and I was scared. I knew if I died, I was going to hell. I hadn't lived a long life. I hadn't done what people would call many bad things, but you know what? I was a sinner by nature. And 7 years I'd lived as a sinner, and I knew I wasn't ready to meet God. But you know what happened when I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sin? There was a peace filled my soul. And I wasn't scared anymore. I believed that Jesus Christ has saved me that night. I know he does. It did. And he's kept me to this hour. And I'm asking you a question tonight. Man, woman, boy, or girl, do you fear death? Do you fear eternity? Do you fear God's judgment where all is known? Do you feel paralyzed because of your sin and your lifestyle that you know you'll have to stand before God and give an account of when the books are opened? Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about the lifestyle they're living. What about your lifestyle tonight? What about your heart? What about your guilt, your shame, your sin, your burden? Get that dealt with tonight. Don't compare or contrast to others, but get right with God tonight. And you know what happened? Saul cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? What was happening there? Well, first of all, by saying Lord, he was acknowledging that Jesus Christ was exactly who he claimed to be. He acknowledged Jesus Christ was Lord. And then in saying, what wilt thou have me to do? You know what he was doing? He was surrendering his life to the Lord. This was his conversion. The publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The thief said, Lord, remember me. Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he surrendered his life to the Lord. He surrendered every part of his life to the Lord. How do we know that? Because the Bible testifies of it. The rest of his life was lived for the Lord. Christian, do you remember the night you got saved? The peace and contentment you felt. Perhaps tears of joy, perhaps excitement. You were zealous just like Saul was. Maybe that night you prayed and asked, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I live for you? Is that still your prayer tonight? Is that still your desire tonight? Or have you grown cold? Have you forgotten what the Lord saved you from? Have you been walking in bypath meadow? And I can say to you tonight, if the Lord can take a wicked man like Saul and turn him into a Christian who reached countless people for Christ, then he can do the same for you and for me, because he is still the same God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Saul said, of whom I am chief. He felt like the worst sinner, the most guilty sinner in the world. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. Came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Will you come to Jesus as you are? Will you confess your sin before him? Will you turn from your sin and trust him to save you? The third thing I want to think about tonight, and just very briefly, a couple of minutes just as we close. We thought about Saul's lifestyle. We thought about God's intervention. But finally, let's think about the evidence of his conversion. How do you know someone's saved? How do people know that you're saved? Well, let's look down this chapter, and I'll just highlight these for you very quickly. Look at verse number 8. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes was opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Here's the first thing. He was obedient to God's word, because God had said to him in verse number 6, arise and go into the city. And that's what he did. He was obedient to the word of God. Friend, you do not have any testimony on this earth if you say you're a Christian, you're disobedient to the word of God. You need to be obedient. Secondly, verse number 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Here's the second thing, he's praying. That's another evidence of salvation. Praying to the Lord. Verse 15, 16, Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God spoke to him and showed his plan. And you know, whenever we're saved, God does that. God reveals to us little by little, step by step, the plan for our lives. Verse number 17, at the very end it says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Spirit of God. That's an evidence of salvation. We can't be filled with the Spirit of God if we're not saved. Verse number 18, and immediately there fell from off his eyes, as it had been scales, and he had his sight, received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And here he is now being obedient to Scripture, publicly declaring his faith with baptism. He wasn't ashamed. Then, you know, his company changed, because it says there in verse number 19, then was Saul certain days with the disciples that were in Damascus. He wasn't running about with the crowd that were stoning Stephen. No, he had changed sides. He changed allegiance. He was now following the one who loved Christ. His company had changed. And the Bible tells us that our company strengthened us as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man, his friend. Verse number 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He told others about Christ. There's an evidence of salvation. Verse 22, Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this was the very Christ. He proved the reality of Christ by the life he lived. And then we find one of the very great evidences of salvation. Look at verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. What does this speak to us of? The attack of the enemy. And I tell you, if you didn't know there was a devil before you were saved, you'll know after you're saved. The reality is, he was in the company of the disciples, and together they thwarted Satan's plan, and the devil came to hit him. But you know what? He hit back through Christ, and he got the victory. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And you know what the Church of Jesus Christ needs today in 2018? Is people who are new creatures in Christ. There are too many people saying they belong to Christ, and they're living like the devil. And friend, we need to get up in the morning. We need to say, Lord, it's not within me to live well for thee. Please fill me with your Spirit. Please help me to live well for you today. Lord, help me to do what is Christ-like today. Help me to do what is honorable today. And you see, whenever you feel, get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. and help me to learn and go on. What would it be if God's people were new creatures, different from the world? Do you know one of the greatest hindrances to the gospel is Christians who are not living for Christ? I know it's no excuse, but whenever you go to a door inviting someone to church or to a mission, and they say, wise up, my aunt, my uncle, my brother, my sister, my neighbor, they call themselves Christian, or maybe even they go to your church, and you know something, if that's Christianity, I know more spiritual people outside the church have nothing to do with the Bible. And you know what? Sad to say, sometimes we haven't any answer to give back to them because they're right. Friend, tonight in this meeting, as a Christian, I'm speaking to Christians here now, you can be one of two things. You can either be a channel of blessing in the church of God and the cause of Christ, or you can be a great hindrance. But you can't be neutral. You're either a blessing to the work of God, or you're a hindrance to the work of God. And we need to pray God make us blessings. So in conclusion, I ask the question to Christians, is this the reality in your life? Are you shining for the Lord? You know that within your heart. I pray if there's something that needs to be put right, the Spirit of God will show it to you tonight. And before you leave your seat tonight in this house, you'll bow your head and you'll put it onto the blood and you'll ask the Lord, Lord, take me on. But for those who are not saved tonight, then you have heard the gospel tonight. You've heard the testimony tonight of someone who's been saved. That's what you need. You need to get off the broad road that leads to hell. You need to cut ties tonight with your father, the devil. You need to have your sins forgiven. The guilt and the fear and the burdens dealt with tonight. A friend, you can do none of those things by yourself. Only Christ can do them for you. Praise God, He can. Maybe you came in this meeting tonight thinking, well, it's only an hour. I'll come in, I'll go out, that's me. Thank God, tonight, in just a moment, if you call on the Lord to save you, you can receive a full pardon from sin. The peace of God within your heart. The assurance of a home in heaven. New life in Christ. Friend, tonight, if you call on Christ, you can start living tonight. How will you leave this meeting? Saul was going to church against God. But thank the Lord stepped in and saved him. How will you leave the church tonight? Praising God for what he's done in your life? Praying to go on with God? Or will you leave continuing to walk on the road to hell?